House Military Veterans Affairs to order. It is 1:05 p.m. on Tuesday, May 2nd. We're in the Gruenberg Room in 120, capital of Juneau. With me, I have Representative Shaw, Representative Carpenter, Representative Grove, Representative Gray, and myself, Chair Wright. Let the record reflect we do have a quorum to conduct business. Please mute your cell phones. First off, I'd like to thank Zach Longhorn for helping us today in the Juneau LIO. Thank you. We appreciate you for moderating this meeting, and also Kevin Allen with House Records for documenting today's meeting. We have one item on the agenda today, our first hearing on HB 158, Military United States Space Force. This is a committee bill, so I will have our committee aide, Mr. Forrest Wolf, my chief of staff extraordinaire, come to give an introduction on the bill. Then we will have some invite testimony from Ms. Tammy Barrow, the Northwest Regional Liaison for the Department of Defense, Lieutenant Colonel Christopher Castle from the United States Space Force. Mr. Wolf, please state your name for the record and begin your presentation.
Thank you, Chair Wright, members of the committee. For the record, this is Forrest Wolf, Chief of Staff to Representative Wright and Military Veterans Affairs Committee aide. HB 158 simply seeks to list or add the United States Space Force in places in Alaska statute where the other branches of the military are specifically enumerated. This was brought to us by the by Ms. Perot and the Department of Defense as a suggestion. And real quickly, there's three places where we have so far been able to find where add United States Space Force would be appropriate. The first, section one, is in AS 2420650B, which establishes the membership makeup, of the Joint Armed Services Committee in the legislature. Section two affects AS 2605385D, as in dog, which outlines who may serve as a judge advocate under the Code of Military Justice. Third section is adds United States Space Force to AS 26.30.903, which is a definition section of the Chapter 30 military facility zones. So with that, I would like us, if we could, please just to have Tammy Perot go next, and then we'll move to Lieutenant Colonel Christopher Castle, if possible.
Ms. Perot, are you on the line?
Chair Wright and members of the committee, always an honor to be with you as I am today. For the record, my name is Tammy Perot, and I serve as the regional liaison covering the state of Alaska. Our office supports specific state policies that positively impact our military families. The Department of Defense is grateful for the opportunity to support the policies reflected in House Bill 158 and hopes that Alaska will become one of the first states to adopt legislation addressing this important issue. Title 10 of the U.S. Code, Section 101, defines the term armed forces to include Army, Marine Corps, Navy, Air Force, Space Force, and Coast Guard. Aligning state statute with this section of the U.S. Code ensures that our military members and veterans are treated equally no matter which branch of the service they serve in. The United States Space Force plays a crucial role in protecting the United States' interests in space and ensuring national security. And indeed, the state of Alaska is on the cutting edge of providing this national security, as you will hear about at Clear Air Space Force Station. By adding the Space Force to the definition of armed forces, the state government can recognize the important role of Space Force in protecting the country and supporting state residents. We ask that you move this legislation forward, and I stand for your questions.
Thank you, Ms. Perot. Always a pleasure having you come in and testify. Are there any questions from the committee? So, Ms. Perot, I do have one question, and this it may not be one for you, but if you can't answer it, please just let me know. So, is there a need is there going to be a Space Force National Guard stood up at any point in time?
Chair Wright and members of the committee, thank you very much for the question about the Space Force National Guard. As you know, this is an ongoing conversation, which I do not have a specific answer for. I defer this question if you possibly have anyone from the National Guard Bureau in your room or anyone from the Alaska National Guard joining you today to them, as I am sure that they will receive the most up-to-date information on this.
Thank you. I do appreciate that answer. And I do thank you for your time, Ms. Perot.
Thank you, sir.
Now, also, we have on the line Lieutenant Colonel Christopher Castle. Mr. Castle, are you with us?
Yes, sir. I'm with you. Good afternoon, and thank you for affording me this opportunity.
Awesome. Thank you. Please begin your presentation.
All right. Good afternoon, Chairman Wright, members of the committee. Lieutenant Colonel Christopher Castle, for the record. It's a pleasure to be with you this afternoon to speak briefly about one of my favorite topics, which is space in general, more specifically, military space operations, and even more specifically, what space operations are going on right now in the state of Alaska under the auspices of the United States Space Force. So the United States Space Force is the newest branch of the armed service. It was established on December 20, 2019. As a result of the fiscal year 2020 National Defense Authorization Bill. And in that bill, the Space Force was established as an armed force within the Department of the Air Force and given two specific functions. First, freedom of operation for the United States in, from, and to space. And second, prompt and sustained space operations. And it was also given three specific duties: to protect the interests of the United States in space, to deter aggression in, from, and to space, and to conduct space operations. And so that's the reason that President Trump and the members of that administration decided to form a separate branch of the service. And so why do we need to do this? Why is space important to our way of life, both civic and military, and what has changed recently to pull the space infrastructure and equipment out of the other branches of the service into its own new military entity? Well, space touches a majority of the aspects of our civic way of life. Our civic way of life relies on freedom of action in space. GPS timing is used for bank transactions and ATM withdrawals. Satellites in orbit with remote sensing capabilities are very useful for modern agriculture practices, measuring crop yields and water levels and other things. Global communication is enabled by space infrastructure. So not just in the United States, but in the free world, space is a wonderful boon to the way our lives are run. And as far as military goes, space provides an asymmetric advantage to troops operating in the ground, sea, and air domains. It makes our peerless military even better and even more lethal. Satellite communications allows troops and leaders to provide effective command and control anywhere on the globe. Satellites in geosynchronous orbit are able to provide instantaneous missile warning for friendly and adversary launches that are occurring anywhere on the globe in near real time. The GPS constellation, as was mentioned, provides accurate position, navigation, and timing. Intelligence collection platforms are used from space. Space is an incredibly useful thing to our military. And for many decades, space was considered a benign environment. We assumed that our assets that we put on orbit would be safe from any enemy interference. Sadly, that is no longer the case. The time is rapidly approaching when certain nations are developing capabilities that can potentially degrade and negate our great advantages that we have in space. And so this was the main rationale for forming the United States Space Force. I served for 18 years proudly in the United States Air Force, operating the same equipment that I do today, as part of the Air Force, but I'm super proud to be part of the initial group that transferred over and helped stand up the Space Force 3.5 years ago. And then specifically here in Alaska, Alaska has a wonderful strategic location due to its extreme northern latitude and the fact that it extends very far west out into the Pacific region. It's a wonderful place for space infrastructure. There's been a missile warning site here at Clear Space Force Station since the early 1960s. And that has provided missile warning and missile defense and space domain awareness for North America for many decades. We have recently constructed a new radar called the Long Range Discrimination Radar that will also, once it becomes fully active, become part of the missile defense network, defending the homeland from missile launches from rogue nations. And then a third asset out at the edge of the Aleutian Island chain on the island of Shemya, the Space Force operates the Cobra Dane radar, which due to its unique location provides the most advanced early warning that we could possibly get from a ground-based asset of launches from certain rogue nations. So the Space Force operates billions of dollars of equipment and provides very important national security missions today in the state of Alaska. And there's a huge growth potential to add on new equipment, new units, new missions. I'm very excited for what the future might hold. And I'm very grateful on behalf of the U.S. Space Force that Alaska has taken this this great, what seems to be first step to include us in your official state language. With that, my testimony's come to a conclusion, and I stand ready for any questions.
Well, thank you, Lieutenant Colonel Castle. I've had the opportunity to go out to Clear Air Force Base, and well, I guess Space Force Base, and you know, that it's an impressive facility. Do we have any questions here from the committee? Seeing no questions, we will set this bill aside for a later date. And that concludes today's agenda. Our meeting will be held next on Thursday, May 4th. Seeing no other business, we will adjourn at 1:17 p.m.